What I'd like to talk to you about more specifically is a fairly new phenomena on the internet that might have some relevance for our group here. And that is a thing called podcasting. Have any of you heard of podcasting? Yeah, this is a... Okay, well, we're going to tell you what it is. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be podcasting this talk right now, so you all are actually part of a podcast.
All right.
So not only do you get to...
Whether you want to or not, you're in it.
You're talking.
A podcast is it's a combination of two words, like an iPod and a broadcast. And that's why they call it podcast, because you're not broadcasting. You're actually taking music or audio information or video information from the internet and either putting it on a PC or a portable media device, an MP3 player, an iPod, a bookport, whatever. Interestingly enough, the fellow that coined that term podcasting is from here in Louisville. So I thought that was kind of cool. You don't need an iPod, obviously, to listen to a podcast. All you need is your computer. You can listen to it with Windows Media Player or Winamp or whatever audio software you have. And the idea is that people, this has sort of created a whole new way for people to express themselves. You know, in the traditional media, we had three or four large companies, NBC, ABC, and Gannett maybe, that would provide information to us that we consumed at set times and set ways and had a set number of commercials in it. Sean, aren't you interested in podcasting, little buddy? I would be if I were you. But now, people like me and like Scott and like you can make your own show, actually, and have it delivered all over the world. Scott actually has a podcast as well. I have one called Blind Cool Tech. And we... On this show that I do, we actually do some of the things that we're talking about wanting to do here. Maybe a NFB computer users division would be a good candidate to do a podcast. I know at APH, where I work at, we've started doing... We had a national family conference 3 or 4 weeks ago, and recorded 25 presentations and are making those all available for anyone to listen to. And I must say it's an idea that's long overdue, and there's also nothing really new about this idea. It's sort of just putting a couple of pieces together that have always been there. You know, you've always been able to go to a website and click on a link and download a stream of some audio, but I think the thing that distinguishes podcasting from just going to a website is that you can use some software called podcatching software that allows you to subscribe to particular shows. So if you wanted to subscribe to this Blind Cool Tech podcast, where this thing will be playing, you would run your podcatching software. And usually you set this thing up to run right when you start your computer so that it's always out there gathering up new shows. And you would type in or go to the website, blindcooltech.com, and click on the little symbol that says subscribe. And subscribe is a little misleading. You don't actually have to pay for it. These things come to you for free, although someday people will probably be charging for them, and some of them are actually already. But you put in this address, and for some good technical talk, you're actually giving it an XML feed, an RSS XML feed, for that matter. And what happens is this this pod catching software is set up on a schedule. So every couple of hours or however often you want, it goes through your list of all the things you've subscribed to, and it sees, well, there's a new show there, and downloads it and either moves it over to your iPod or just leaves it on your hard disk or puts it on your book port or whatever. And, you know, I know the first thing you think is, well, what could I possibly want out there? I've lived, you know, all these years of my life without any podcasts. But believe me, this stuff is can really change the way you think about audio material and video material. For instance, I mentioned to you what we're going to be doing at APH with presentations. And I think also, you know, as we go out into the field and have our annual meeting at APH, we'll be recording the presentations. This summer at the NFB convention, I did podcasts of the exhibit hall and some of the computer meetings and the accessible home center. And you know that it brings that kind of information to a much wider audience than we're able to actually, you know, the few thousand that were able to actually come to Louisville, because, you know, we don't have barriers about how far this signal can broadcast. This Blind Cool Tech show has listeners in South Africa, all over Europe, China even. It's all in, you know, everything they have to listen. They have to know English to be able to appreciate this, but the scope is unlimited, the distance you can broadcast or that you can podcast. I have now started getting my NBC nightly news from a podcast instead of listening to it on TV. So there's two advantages to that, and we should probably take advantage of this first one while it's still like this, and that is that there's no commercials in it. And secondly, it's nice to be able to skip through it. You know, on your TV and radio, you have to participate in the broadcast in a linear fashion. So, you know, any of you that have listened to some good U of L or UK games, you know how you get sick of that commercial about the 12th time you've heard it? Well, if there are commercials in these podcasts... Are all those clocks telling me I need to hurry up and get off here? Are we out of time?
No.
Oh, okay. What time is it? Somebody, you just hit your watch. What time is it? Forgot already, huh?
I thought it was his watch, but I thought it was mine, and I kind of shut the rooster up.
What time is it?
4 till.
Till 12?
11.
Oh, okay. So, you know, every evening about 6 o'clock, I get this, NBC Nightly News, the presidential, weekly addresses, which is must listening for all of us, are, podcasted now. And there are just literally, well, I think I heard a number that there were around, 15,000 podcasts out there now. No, it's new. This, you know, a year ago, the word wasn't even coined yet. So this happened fast. And I think it's a perfect opportunity for someone like our group to take advantage, because it offers the new user the comfort level of being able to have a conversation rather than, you know, typing up a question and getting a written answer. A lot of the people that have technically oriented podcasts set up telephone lines so that someone can call in and leave a message with their question, and then on the show, and I do this a lot in my show, you know, someone will say, well, I don't know how to use iPodder with speech or whatever. iPodder is one of the pod catching software packages I was telling you about. So you can play this message on the show and then just go through and answer them point by point, go through email with them. You can do demonstrations. That's been really popular. In fact, that's how I started out doing this Blind Cool Tech one, was doing training for the Bookport and for demonstrations of some of our software, where people can get more of a multimedia experience than just reading about it. You know, somehow it's a whole lot more dynamic to hear talking word puzzles where it's giving you all its feedback and it's, you know, the good high quality sounds and the interaction with the puzzle. So people really like the audio aspect, the multimedia type of aspect of this. And it's so easy to get started with. You know, if we wanted to start something like this on our website, it you know, we could easily provide people with instructions, give them a local number to call, and just have them. You know, if they don't want to subscribe to the shows, they can click on them the old-fashioned way. But you know, the real advantage of this whole subscription metaphor is that you don't have to go to 15 or 20 different websites and see if there's anything new. It just automatically comes to you. So this idea of having the material delivered and the ability to skip through it combined to make for a very efficient learning process. I just want to play a couple of samples of some podcasts that are available out there. Probably the guy that really started this, one of the two guys, is Adam Curry. He used to be a DJ on MTV. And his show is by no means G-rated. You know, they'll throw out the F word in this show or just anything, because there's no FCC regulations. We're not broadcasting over the air, so I won't play anything with the F word in it. But you have to be aware when you're looking at the different shows that there's a possibility, you know, if you don't want adult content, you may not want to listen to this Daily Source Code or the Dawn and Drew show or whatever, because you know, it's kind of interesting to be participating in this in this time in history, because you can hear Don and Drew, for example, talk about, I'm telling you what, anything and everything goes. Now, that may not be for you, and that's fine. It's just kind of, it's interesting to observe this phenomena as the media gets turned loose. Liz and I have been doing what I think is really something that a blind person actually has an advantage in podcasting, and that's what they call sound seeing tours. And that is where you go to a place and describe what's going on. So it works out beautifully to have a sighted person with you, because they're describing a lot of the things to you anyway. In fact, before the NFB convention this year, Liz and I went to the Galt House and gave a tour of where all the rooms were and all the floors and what was around in downtown Louisville for anybody coming to the convention. Unfortunately, the podcast was so new then that not a lot of people knew about it. But you know, next time we have a convention in town, I think we should do something like that, publicize it so that all the members of the NFB can take advantage of it. Because, you know, what happened on this sound seeing tour is we actually walked through the Galt House and said, you know, here's the church room to the left. You know, we're walking in the front door, going to the right of the registration desk. So you actually can, the person can actually get a mental picture of what's going on. We've done, like I said, we've done historical places too. We did the Clinton Presidential Library in Little Rock a couple of weeks ago. So it's a great way for you to get a firsthand look at, places that you might not get to go to that you might be interested in. And a lot of people do these sound seeing tours, and I must say the ones where the blind person is accompanying a sighted person are some of the better ones, because of the additional description that the sighted person is providing for the the blind person anyway. That, you know, that description is benefiting everybody that's in the listening audience. So here's a sample, and you'll find that these podcasts range in quality, anything from a very well-produced professional podcast to, well, just somebody talking on their cell phone to an audio blog, or somebody could, you know, for that matter, you could just record it on tape and then digitize it and put it on a website somewhere. So the quality and the production that goes into each one is quite a bit different. So you need to pick for yourself, or if, you know, if we decide to do one here, it might be good to have some audio engineers and make it slick like a radio program or whatever. But they're all different. Like I say, there's thousands of them. And one of the things that really helped this whole phenomena along back in April, Apple iTunes added podcasts to the iTunes Music Store. They weren't selling them, but it suddenly made it exposed podcasts to the general public. I think before that, it was just a few geeky types that knew about these things. But now, all of a sudden, everybody knows that all this stuff is there, and it really brought, to be honest with you, it brought the internet down to its knees and makes us need to think about our infrastructure a little bit in delivering this kind of material. But here's an example of like the daily source code.
What error is it? You know, mechanical? You know what? Shit happens.
Whoops, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. So let me get
kids left. Kids are gone.
Let me get back to the beginning.
Delta Sierra Charlie 236.
So here's the beginning of this show. So, you know, that this guy actually, his show is very highly produced. You know, there's other shows that, let me give you an example of just a mom and dad show. And, you know, there's shows, there's topics for everybody. There's the mommy cast for new mothers that want to learn about...
the blind bowlers cast.
Well, I did blind bowling on the Blind Cool Tech podcast. I sure did.
Cool.
There's a daddy when the mommy cast came out, they came out with one called the Daddy Cast, and then another one called 101 Things to Do with Wet Wipe, or what do you call them, baby wipes. So it was just you know, for the guys. Let's see here. Well, yeah, the thing is, you certainly don't have to subscribe.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Okay, here's a podcast. Now, here's an example of just something. I'm sure you're not going to be interested in it, but some people do. You know, we did one of, Liz and I did one of just going to the grocery store. The idea was... you know, one of the things I wanted to do in my podcast was to give sighted people that might be listening some ideas about, you know, life with a blind person. You know, how do you interact with a blind person? So I was going to kind of give them the idea of an effective way to do some grocery shopping. And then we did one yesterday.
Hey, we haven't done a podcast at the mall yet, have we?
Uh-oh, that's boring. Nobody wants to
hear this. All of ours are boring.
So.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Scott, do you want to say anything about your podcast or some?
Sure.
Some other...
I do my podcast using a service called
blogger.com, which is free. And the way I get the audio to my site at blogger.com is I use a service called Audio Blogger, which I connect to via my cell phone, which I can show you right here if you'd like. You can do 5 minutes at a time this way. Let me get the number.
Yeah, so Scott's actually going to make a post to his podcast right now live in front of us. And it'll be there before you walk out of this room that the whole world can have access to.
And I've got speakerphone, so you'll be able to hear how it sounds.
So at the student division, we've been looking for ways to network to get other student members to be able to get to the meetings that may not live close to Louisville. Would that possibly be an option that
Yeah, that would be a great option. You know, if you could coordinate everybody to subscribe to this cast, this student division cast.
It's not working right in this room for some reason. It keeps telling me to...
Not getting a good signal?
Yeah, like it's breaking up or something.
Yeah.
But you heard how it starts. It's very easy. You just enter your number that you give Audio Blogger. And a pin that you choose yourself, and you can then post 5 minutes at a time, but you can make more than one post in one phone call. At the end of your post, it asks you if you wish to make another post or if you wish to end the call. So if you wish to do another post, you just continue. And then I go to Blogger after I have made the posting and give the particular post a title so that people have some kind of an idea what it is. And that's pretty much all there is to it. I've done 2 podcasts using a program called WavePad on my computer, where I've uploaded an MP3 file to my web space with my internet service provider, and then I've linked that to my Blogger page, and that works. Don't know about all the bandwidth issues, but I have done that twice. All mine are unedited. I don't feel I know enough about editing yet to be attempting that, but mine are basically, you know, I ask if anyone has any computer questions to submit them, and I will do what I can to answer them. Also, I try and talk about local things going on as I hear about them. The feed for mine is feeds.feedburner.com/Scott Spaulding. And Spaulding is spelled S-P-A-U-L-D-I-N-G. And you would just put that address into your podcatching program like iPod, or even Winamp has a podcatching support now.
Yeah, it's not very accessible.
Yeah, I haven't tried it much yet, so I'm not sure how good it is.
Is iPod accessible?
Yeah, very much so. And if you want to get iPod, iPod is actually a free program. It's hard to find where to download it on the iPodder.org site, so really I recommend that people go to a place called jeffbishop.com, and he's got a direct link to it there. It makes it a little easier to find it.
Can you push that on listserv, please?
Sure.
Is there any way, or I don't know if you can do it now or if maybe in the future, live castings?
Say it again?
Live broadcast. Like if you can record it live, because we have... a lot of students out in the state that were trying to get involved, and we could record them and put them on there, I guess. I don't know, you know.
Yes.
But you know, it would be. Do you know if you see it going towards that, or if there's an option now?
Like meetings,
Yeah.
You can do that already.
Right.
But it's not as reliable. I mean,
it's
I
that's
guess,
right.
Like it would break up probably. I mean, a lot of times it does. Like. Yeah. You can't count on it. I don't know. If it were me, I'd do a podcast just because...
Well, you can do both,
you can just upload it when the meeting's done and then...
Right.
And but you talk about getting the other people involved in the meeting.
Right, yeah.
Let's have a door prize real quick.
Get people on Skype.
Yes.
Okay, the next one is 442.
Man, all right in a row.
That's Kathy Jackson. She left
She's
me.
Okay, do another one. Okay. Do another one. Take that one out and do another one.
Yep.
Thank you.
Let's see. Well, 446.
That's me. Ha.
So you.
Yeah. All right. We'll continue.
There you go.
So this gentleman over here asked a question about if this would be appropriate for the student division to disseminate information, and it absolutely would. If you really wanted to, you can actually set this up so that it's very effective for people really that don't know that much about computers even, because with iPodder and with some of the other podcatching programs, you can set them up so that tasks can run after a file gets downloaded. So you could actually set up a script or a batch file or whatever to copy this to somewhere where they would have to hear it when they got to their computer. It's kind of like where it banged them over the head and said, or copied it off. I think the initial purpose of that was to copy it off onto your iPod or your BookPort or whatever. So, absolutely.
And we used a digital recorder to tape our student seminars, so now we can go use something like this and make it available.
Yeah.
Yes, that is exactly the idea.
Did you hear that, Bill?
In fact, I think that... I think if probably Scott and maybe Glenn and I or whoever could easily get together for an hour or two and get the website set up to have you guys a feed.
Phil's doing the student's website. He took over the Phil's student's website.
Yeah,
so
we could get together and...
Yeah, and we can do it to ours too. I mean,
Hey, one at a time here, it's hard to hear. So yeah, that's what it's for, is to not only provide it, information for people over a wide geographical area, but also a wide chronological area too. So if someone wants to come back to this 10 years from now, I don't know that there's that much in the student division that would be of interest in that time frame, but there might be, you know. Maybe one of those students got elected to be president of the United States at some time, and they'd go back to this... 30 years ago and say, here was this guy at the NFB convention, student division. Any other questions? Scott, have you got anything else to add to this since you're a podcasting guru already?
Well, the one thing that it's not local, but, and I think you've done this too, Larry, with your podcast, is you can set up a comment line through k7.net. where someone will call in to, like I say, at the moment it's a long distance number, but it's free to the to the podcaster to use, and then it's that comment is sent as an MP3 file to the person's email address.
Cool. And that's been a real popular thing on a lot of podcasts, is to play this comment because it can be questions a lot of times. Most of the time it will be on this kind of show anyway. You know, how do I make JAWS speak when I highlight a word, when I select in, you know, word or whatever? And, you know, you can play this comment right on the show and then answer it right there with a human voice and go into a computer demonstration of how it's supposed to sound and the whole thing. And true, this K7.net that Scott mentioned is a toll call. It's actually a Washington number. I hadn't figured out why that is yet, but I think we could, you know, if you were interested, it'd be pretty easy to set up an 800 number that would do the same thing, or a local number for any part of the state.
If there were any rallies posted on podcast, it would be neat for people who can't get to rallies, or the ADA rally that's annually here in Kentucky, or the Washington, those rallies that go on in Washington, people can't always get to those rallies.
I'll bet you the next ADA rally in Kentucky that there will be a Blind Cool Tech podcast from. You know, I think as more and more people start podcasting, there will be more of that. People just don't know about it yet, and they don't realize the benefits of it. I would love to see the whole NFB National Convention podcasted. Yeah. You know, we went through and did a few of the meetings and the exhibit halls and stuff, but, you know, everything in the...
Yeah, I did a couple myself.
Yeah.
A couple of them may have even overlapped years, I'm not sure.
But, you know, the whole general sessions, those should be out there available for posterity.
They're netcast, aren't they?
They said they were.
I think they tried this year,
Server went down.
They got it back on. Got it out there now.
But you know, live isn't so important for something like that. It doesn't hurt to hear it an hour later or a week later. Yeah. It's good, relevant information for the whole year.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, things like those kind of rallies. There's a podcast called Shelley's Podcast where this girl is actually a writer for a Mac magazine, and she happens to live about an hour from Crawford, Texas. So last week, actually before Katrina took over the news, you know, this Jane Sheehy was kind of dominating the headlines, and she was out there at Crawford while Bush was on vacation, and there were all kind of protests there. Well, she went out there with her podcast and interviewed people, and it was so much better than the nightly news because you could sit there and listen to somebody talking for half an hour or an hour about all aspects of what was going on, not just your 10-second sound bite, you know. And if you don't want to, you just, you know, you take your iPod and skip past it or delete it, you know. You don't have to listen to it, but it's really nice for someone who wants a little more detail or to get a different perspective. It's nice. Any other questions?
So how do you get one set up?
To begin listening to them or to begin doing them?
Doing them.
Well, that's pretty easy too, actually. First thing, you record what you want to, you know, decide what you want to call it and start recording. Like let's say in the instance that our group here decided, well, we want to start making all our meetings available to all the people in Kentucky or anywhere that are interested. So we record this meeting, we get a website like Glenn's already got set up, and we copy the digital file to there, and then we make what's known as a RSS feed to that file, which is just a very simple XML feed, and you can have it do it automatically with scripting or many, many ways to automate the process.
You can also do it without any input on your end other than uploading the file. Well, I don't know completely, but I know at least with with Blogger, you enable the what they call the site feed, and then you use a service like FeedBurner and just check a few boxes, and it turns that XML feed into your podcast.
Yeah, and you know, even if you do create an XML feed yourself. You're not going to do it by hand. You're gonna have a little some little software that's going
to
go through there and build that for you.
I mean, you use a Bookport. You have a Bookport with you.
No, I'm not using it to record because it sucks at recording. It's a great playback device, but it's poor.
Well,
poor.
Okay.
I'm using a. I use a variety of things. I'm using an Olympus DS2 right now to record this. It actually records in stereo. I've got this pair of microphones that I wear over my ears. They're binaural microphones, so it, as you're walking and talking, it makes it, and you're listening to it with headphones, it sounds like you're really there.
Cool.
In fact, the first time I had listened to one of these that I did on the way home from work, I was in the backyard, and I stepped back from the traffic. I thought, what is this? It is that real. But, yeah, a good high-quality digital recorder is all you need. A lot of them have a built-in mic, but, you know, probably external mics are better.
Although, I've heard, from what I've heard, a lot of times you have to use some kind of preamplification in order to get them up to a good volume. Is that correct?
No. Well, you're thinking of with the Arcos that only has a line-in jack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of my first ones with the Arcos, but you have to have a special microphone with those that has power to it to bring it up to line input level. I use another thing called an iRiver IFP-899. I don't know if you've...
How does that work for blind people?
Real well. It's not accessible in the sense that, you know, it talks, but it's easy enough to use. Wow, what did I do with my... Is my iRiver sitting back there on that table?
Your what?
That my little recorder?
No.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Oh, here it is right
can
here.
I see it?
I'll pass it around. This is the iRiver IFP-899.
Okay.
There you go. And it's...
It
has a gigabyte of RAM in it, so you can actually do 34 hours worth of recording at its highest... quality setting.
Not the Arcos, it's
34
huge.
Hours.
Yeah, 34 hours. Yeah, it runs on one AA battery.
It has a gig in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like
the
James
turbine
that we used for
$150,
$200 somewhere
in
that price range right now.
The size of a wide bin.
Yeah. Best Buy.
They're switching models, though, so.
They actually have one by Creative that's accessible now. A friend of mine just got the same. It holds a Meg.
Which one? The Zen?
I gotta find out what it's called.
Oh, please.
She just
do.
Bought it, and she bought it from Walmart. She loves it. And it works
for her. Let us know on the list what that thing
I will.
Is.
I want.
And what was I gonna let you know on the list? I forgot already.
The
you forgot too.
The
oh, the iPodder. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, iPodder. That's.
I'm taking my notes.
All right. Any other questions?
What is the list? I'm not even on it. I mean, I'm not from here, but...
Email me.
Can I get on the list?
Yeah.
Email? I'd like to. Okay.
We're not taking it.
Okay, well, thank you, guys.